Need a water?
Thought I'd try to pull you down, but I couldn't.
You need a water?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
You need a brownie? I'm going to my office. I'm going to my office to eat my brownies. Let me know how the service goes.
Luke chapter 10. I've seen lots of notes in my time on the pulpit. People will leave notes or there's something to remind the pastor to do. Though I heard the announcement, I look down and I see that there's a candy offering next Sunday, and it's like, I want to change my schedule. I'll be at Memorial next Sunday in Ocala with Brother Joe and Miss Angela. In between, I'll go to Tennessee on Wednesday and Thursday to meet with some brethren from the Middle East and helping them. And as they're reaching their people, they've come to the U.S., and I'll need to meet with them for 2 days. Friday, I'll go to North Carolina, but not home. I'll go to a high school graduation where I've been asked to speak and challenge the young people for opportunities of service to the Lord. And then Saturday, I'll go down to Orlando and be there Saturday morning. Joe and I have raced there before with me flying and Joe driving, but you'll not beat me this time. Yeah, Joe's pointing out I lost. I can't control the airline, but nonetheless, I'll be in Orlando before 9 o'clock Saturday morning, so super early on Saturday, and be there for their missions conference. Let me congratulate you for the cards that have been turned in. Tremendous response, 93,000 as that commitment, and so we rejoice in that. May God use you to be a blessing. The thought or heart or intention, any of those would work in this sentence, but your intention to do extra for your own people being sent out is the right thing to do. When I say that, I am saying to you that your normal level of support for people who are not members of your church is absolutely acceptable for people who are not members of your church. But when you have your own people going, you have the opportunity to be a blessing. And I want to encourage you to do that. And when you start to, I have no idea what pastor's intention is, and I'm certainly stepping pretty far into this, but if I counted right, I've been here more than 20 times in the pulpit and in 20 different meetings over the years. And I can tell you this, if you hear a number that seems large to you, keep in mind you ought to be the largest supporter of the Kotinskis. You ought to let no other church, it's not a pride thing at all, it's a responsibility thing. You're going to look after your kids. You may want to do something for kids at Christmas time, whether through Hannah's Hope or Bus Ministry or any of those things, but you're going to do more for your own kids. The Kotinskis are big kids, and I encourage you to do so. As Pastor is saying, he is setting aside money and such, I encourage you to do that as well. Guess where we're going to turn? Luke chapter 10. Did I already say that? You just knew. I was going to commend you. Questions that came from this week in the text, who is my neighbor? That's what the lawyer asked. What did the Lord ask? Who was the neighbor? In the law, we learn to ask, who is our God? And we learned what God has to say about neighbors. I think that the generosity of God is to be reflected in the way we treat others. The generosity of God is to be reflected in the way we treat others. People should see how generous our God is by how we respond. I absolutely loved our sister's testimony about the welcome she got in North Carolina. Ma'am, may I ask you, I don't know, how long ago was that? What year? 45. And some fella at a filling station was kind. That's all it takes. It's kindness. We can obsess about the people who are around us, or we can look at our own heart and say, am I being a neighbor? That's all it is. Becoming a neighbor is something God already decided for us. I don't have a single decision to make. God already decided I'm supposed to be a neighbor. Now, either you can be in rebellion to God or in obedience to God, but you don't have to sit around and say, that neighbor stuff, boy, that sounds, yeah, that's pretty interesting. The truth is God's already decided. And I want to be super careful not to abuse my relationship here, but God's already decided for us to reach our community. He already decided that. He said, reach Jerusalem. There's no question, but $93,000, we'll be able to reach around the world. It'll be incredible. It'll be the best year ever. It'll be amazing. But as we drive past Jerusalem to reach the rest of the world, remember, God's already decided we're supposed to be a neighbor. You see, the neighbor next door is my divine responsibility. The neighbor on the next street over is my divine task. The neighbor who is in the next people group is my divine assignment. The neighbor next door is my divine service. And the neighbor next door is my response to my holy God. How am I going to respond? Well, I've read this text. I don't even know if I've read this text straight through yet. I don't think I have. I've gotten close, but because you all have reading issues, I said that before in a church, and the guy said after church, Brother O'Malley, I don't think we have a reading problem. I think it's you. I know. But the Word of God is so exciting. It ought to be where every word triggers our faith and triggers our hope and reminds us of grace. Chapter 10 is powerful. I may not have even, I think one night I mentioned it. In chapter 10, verse 1, hey, how about that? We're going to go back. After these things, the Lord appointed the other 70 also. You say, whoa. I thought there were only 12 people. There were many people who followed Christ. And he's going to send out 70. Here's a math question, Ryan. You ready? He's going to send them out two by two. So how many teams were there? 35. That schooling stuff is working out, Matt. 35 teams he's going to send out. Watch what he says. And sent them two and two before his face. You'll never go anywhere God can't see you. There is no neighborhood in this county God doesn't see. There is no street you can go down that he already hasn't watched you as you go. Michael Baldwin said earlier, sorry, I know your name. It's just you get a lot of names and they flow through, and then there's sometimes you get just a little brain burp and you got to fix that. Brother Baldwin said earlier that he faced physical challenges in going. But you have to realize this, God knew. He's fine. It's not the end of the day. Our Lord sustained far more. Get up and keep going. He's watching you. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face. I love that phrase. I'll not delay longer except to say, he sees you when you go. And may I also say, he sees you when you stay. Into every city and place whither he himself would come. That's exciting. Jump to 17, because I have a reading problem. And the 70 returned again with, read the word, church, joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. How does he send us out? In his name. When he gave the last assignment, we call the Great Commission, before he left, he told them that his name has power. And in his name they go out. They say, even the devils are subject. And Christ said in verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did he not say in verse 1, you're going before my face? I'm watching you. And Christ now says in 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't rejoice that he has power over all of the enemies. He said, no, 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 there's something bigger to have joy over. Oh, well, that you watched us. We went before your face. Oh, that he saw Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Oh, that we had the power to cast out devils and we had power over the enemy in Christ's name. He said, no, the best stuff yet. Last part of the verse. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Best day ever. Nobody can take your salvation from you. Nothing can happen to you. And it is in the context of this, the lawyer shows up and says, oh, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Christ said, well, what's in the law? Look at the law. What does it say? Wow. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When the law is just theory, then it's only an academic answer. And when we are members of Lawyer Baptist Church and we have all of the academic answers for the things that people ask us, are you saved forever? Yes. Once saved, always saved. Eternal security. Yep. Is the Bible the Word of God? Yep. Is God eternal? Yep. Academic answers. Thank God you know them. But realize this, your name is written in heaven and you have eternal life. And the best book you'll ever read is the Word of God. What's written in the law? Well, actually, we went back and looked. Pretty amazing stuff. If I summarized it, I would say no matter anyone's status in this country, we ought to be like the guy in North Carolina. Leave an impression that'll last 45 years. You were kind. I'm glad our state showed up for you. I am. I am glad. But it's not Southern hospitality. We are Christians. Our names are written in heaven. And because of that joy, no matter what powers are subject to the name of Christ, he said, the best deal yet is that your names are written in heaven. We're going to heaven when we die. All of these things in this earth, gone. With him forever. And the lawyer's, what do I got to do? He gives an answer. Jesus says in 28, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus tells this amazing narrative of a certain man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. I was so proud of Ryan the other night. Wasn't it you, Ryan, who rattled off, or was it you, Noah? Noah, so proud of you the other night when you rattled those off. I have preached this passage, and not always do I preach on perspectives. There are many, many lessons here. But I was so proud of you to get that. I've had adults get stuck on how many perspectives there were. Adults. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. I never expected that. You're smart. I know that. Wonderful teachers and examples and such. But you nailed it. I was really proud of you. And Mark, if I haven't preached on the passage yet, don't ruin my message for tonight. Of course the innkeeper had a perspective. But if you remember the question, I said just in the verses I've read. But you're right, there are perspectives that we have to keep in mind. What were the perspectives we've talked about? Our perspectives on people, our perspectives on possessions. This morning, our perspective on priorities. And tonight, it is the perspective on possibilities. What can happen if we are a neighbor? So Christ tells this story, this narrative that's there. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan. May I just pause there, because I've read a lot of words without stopping and I feel like I have to stop. This week, be somebody's certain Samaritan. What good is hearing all of these messages if you ignore your responsibility to be somebody's Samaritan this week? Maybe it's a guy on the side of the road. Maybe it's a mom who's at the park and she's discouraged. The other day I was coming out, I had a very serious doctor's appointment, which has led to a long, long series of challenges for me medically in the last 2 months. I'm coming out of a neurologist's office and received a diagnosis that was kind of just shaking, deep. And I'm coming down the elevator, and it stops at the second floor of this doctor's building, and a couple gets on. And she's wearing a sweatshirt. And her sweatshirt has the Up House with balloons. If you don't know, I'm sorry, but ask a kid. It's the house from Up with balloons lifting it in the air. She's wearing that. The baby's diaper bag had the grape soda caps pinned to the diaper bag. And the baby's, as we talk later, found out that the baby's room is decorated in Up, and the father had something on from the Up movie and such. Well, I personally have enjoyed many, many times watching that film. I think it's a very sweet story. And so I said to them, now we're three floors in this building. They got on at 3, and you say, well, that's a lot of information to go from 2 to 1. Yes. But I knew it was my opportunity, and I said, do you know that there's a real house that a contractor built with Pixar and Disney's permission, and it's in Salt Lake City, just south of Salt Lake City, Utah? They said, a real house? You mean like a facade? A front? I said, no. That you can go in it? I said, you can have pictures made there. And I explained the process. Now we're walking outside. And I asked the baby's name, Jace. The dad's name, CJ. The mom's name, Madison. And I asked them where they lived. They told me. I showed them pictures of the Up House where Kim and I had pictures made there. And I out there with a bunch of balloons, and it's very sweet pictures. I don't think I've ever posted them online, but I have them. And I said to them as we're leaving, I'm trying to leave gospel seeds, I said, Can we just pray right here and pray for your child and for you as parents? I am standing in front of a medical building. People are coming in and out. And I'm there and I'm praying a prayer of blessing. And this is no short little thing. This is, I'm in full prayer mode. And I'm praying for these people. I don't even know them. I've never seen them. But I said when I walked away, God, if you've given me this diagnosis so I could be here for this couple with their kid to make them think of where that kid's going to go to church and how they're not going into the whole conversation. But the idea is this, is that you and I have our names written in heaven and you have to be somebody's good Samaritan this week. I felt like when I walked away from there, I said, God, if everything that happens as a result of this is for me to have been there to pray for Jace and for CJ and for Madison, then so be it. People are hurting all around us. Be someone Samaritan. Don't be so busy this week that you miss the wounded. Because being a neighbor means you believe in possibilities. So I don't know, possibilities, Brother O'Malley, that's a big stretch. But when you work with people, they are filled with possibilities. You say, you've never worked with people. No, I was a bus captain when I was 15. I was a bus driver as soon as I turned 16. I've picked up kids all my life for church. I remember the first time I ever really dealt with death was when two kids, twins, on my bus route, Larry and Lenora, two twins, drowned in the pond outside their house. When the EMTs or whomever, the divers, found the kids, they were holding hands that had drowned in the pond. I remember picking up kids whose houses had burned, whose children had died. I remember the difficult days, but I'm going to tell you, no matter how many times you get burned in ministry, you still keep stopping and you still keep helping and you still keep investing. Why? My name's written in heaven and likely theirs is not. My goal was just to get up and talk for a few minutes and be done. I failed. 33. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go, and do thou likewise. The Good Samaritan teaches me a perspective on people and a perspective on possessions and a perspective on priorities. But tonight, as we close this out, I want you to think about the perspective you have on the possibilities of what can happen in regard to what God can do with whatever he's placed in your hand. Whatever it took to get the job done, he saw possibilities. The Good Samaritan saw possibilities in his resources. You say, well, if somebody in the world looked and said, all you got is garments, oil, wine, and a donkey, what on earth can God do with oil, wine, and a donkey, and some clothing? He said, oh, but if you understood the possibilities here, I can take my garment and make bandages. I can use the oil and salve a wound. I can use the wine and use it as an antiseptic. I can use my donkey and carry wounded people. I can use my money and give it to an innkeeper. It's time that we look at the possibilities. possibilities that we have as children of God with all the resources we've been given and saying He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You say, well, we look around and we have classrooms, we have square footage here, we have roadfront property. What can God do here? Don't look at this in a minimalist idea. Look at the opportunities that we have. You say, I don't know, I just don't see it. If you can't walk through this building and see possibilities, and you can't walk through this parking lot and see possibilities, you're going to need a bigger God. Good Samaritan saw possibilities with his money. Did I finish yet? No, I read the whole thing. I call that done. I finished. I read the whole thing. Took me a week, but I got there. The Good Samaritan saw possibilities with his money. He sacrificed his money. So why is it always about the money? Because it's the thing we hold the tightest. There was no price too high for him to pay for the care of a wounded person. His money was used for care. His money was used for lodging. His money was used for the labor of the innkeeper. The possibilities with money are not to be mistaken. We have an incredible asset at 705 Graham Road. Every square inch of this building needs to be used for the glory of God, for the wounded that live among us. You say, we're just a handful. Okay, fine. Let me give you, you're just a handful. You just promised $93,000 to missions with you're just a handful. I asked Pastor, how many square feet are here? Preacher was not clear on that answer. I don't know if anybody has ever added it up, but it's a, well, if you were a taxable entity, the county would actually know how many square feet you had. But the idea is this, you got a lot. Do spaces in this building go empty? When you're dealing with the wounded, you've got to realize there are possibilities. And when we realize that there's possibilities in our resources, number two, there are possibilities with our money. Number three, there's possibilities with our more. You say, what? How is possibilities and more work? Well, what does he say unto him? Take care of him and whatsoever, verse 35, and whatsoever thou spendest more. You say, well, that's offering a blank check to the innkeeper. No, it's offering a blank check to God. Let God fill that out. The fellow said, I believe in this work so much, I'm coming back this way, and if you spend whatever it takes, just fix this guy. Here's the problem. The priest and the Levite said, he's half dead. The Samaritan said, he's only half dead. Say, well, he's not your kind of people. What kind of people do they have to be? They are people. Yeah, right. They're not my color. They're not my language. They're not my passport. They're not my heritage. They're not from here. They're over from there. It doesn't matter. The status of a person before God is they were made in His image, created as His own. Satan who ruined everything, and it's our job to get man to turn back to Christ. There was no limit to his cause. There was no limit to his commitment. There was no limit to his character. You say, well, what if the innkeeper ripped him off? Doesn't matter. If you're spending on God's sake, God will take care of those who are trying to rip off. Doesn't matter. We invest in the lost. Here's the big lessons. There's only 3 points. We might get done before I leave tomorrow. When it comes to bandages, donkeys, oil, and wine, God sees possibilities, do you? So, well, it's just an old van out there. Used to be a green bus that would sit there. Where is that? sir? Rust. So we have a parking lot. So, oh, it's asphalt, Brother O'Malley. It's paint. No, it's possibilities to park sinners' cars here and get them in the house of God. It's possibilities to park buses here and say, let's give him our more. Stop looking at the physical thing, saying, what could God do with that? If he can take 5 loaves, 2 fishes, he can take a parking lot and fill it. He can take buses and fill them with kids. The possibility is great because there will always be wounded among us who need us to show up and believe God. When it comes to your time and your travels and your giving and your assisting, God sees possibilities, do you? When it comes to compassion and mercy and kindness, God sees possibilities, do you? When it comes to treacherous roads and dusty paths and distances from home, God sees possibilities, do you? When it comes to these unexpected opportunities, what you might call an interruption, when it comes to these unexpected opportunities, God sees possibilities, do you? When it comes to sacrifice and selflessness and service, God sees possibilities, do you? When it comes to partnerships and working with others, here's my nod to the innkeeper statement, who had his perspective. I'm not sure. I don't want to extrapolate beyond what Scripture says. So the Samaritan asked for credit but made a deposit. So he must have seen something in the Samaritan that said, okay, the guy's paying me in advance for a service yet unperformed. Then he says, I'm coming back this way. You're going from Jerusalem to Jericho. You want to get back and take the road back again. And he said, I'm coming back by this way. Perhaps he stayed there before. Perhaps this was his first time. But I know this, is that sometimes it takes partnerships to get the job done. It means that we have people who can give and people who can knock doors and people who can find the kids that we used to pick up and say, there's a time machine in everybody's life. It is the where are they now question. Thank God they had time here. If you worked in Awana those days, or if you remember those kids, they moved in and amongst you. But it's time that we start to look at all the possibilities. It's possible to invest in people even when they can't repay you. It's possible to care beyond the immediate need. It's possible to trust others to help continue the work that you've started. It's possible to go beyond expectations. It's possible to embody love to people through sacrifice and showing there is no limit for my love for God, that I will love my neighbor as myself, as the Good Samaritan did, the most unlikely person to stop and help the Jewish guy was the Samaritan. And you and I ought to be looked at as saying, why would they even stop to help me? And the fact is, and such were some of you. Grand Road Baptist Church, this can be the best year we've ever had. Why? Because the Good Samaritan helps us see the possibilities. You say, well, I don't know, Brother O'Malley, that sounds exciting and invigorating, and I don't know, how's it all going to work? Well, I imagine Enoch, when he was walking with God, had no idea how it was going to end that day, but he walked off with God. I imagine Noah, when he got to the assignment of building the ark and spent years building that ark and spent years preaching a message of righteousness, had no idea how all it was going to play out, but he believed God enough to start building an ark. I believe that Moses, though when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to suffer the pleasures of sin for a season. I imagine that any of the other fathers of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 could tell you, I didn't see the end from the beginning, I just saw God. But when you can see just God at Grand Road Baptist Church, and you can see the possibilities that a parking lot can be filled, and kids can be running up and down the halls, and folks are being baptized in the baptistry, and we're having to buy new buses, and we're looking at building onto the building because we're using every single space we have, that makes this the year of possibilities. Would you stand with me? Sam, if you can, would you come to the piano? Father, this evening, oh, my heart is so stirred. How you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Think of the churches who would absolutely have jealousy over the facilities that are here at Graham Road. The parking that's here, the road frontage that's here, the spirit of giving that is here. Sending out our own missionary. Looking at ways we can reach others. Giving that is just exponentially large. Father, may we be a church that believes in you, not just for our salvation, but a church that believes that anything is possible when it comes to reaching the wounded. Father, may Graham Road Baptist Church always have the heartbeat for reaching people and seeing the possibilities that the gospel brings. Father, thank you for the context of this chapter where we see the story just before. Just rejoice that your name's written in heaven. It's better than having greater power and greater presence and the promise of God to see us wherever we go. The best day ever is the fact knowing that our names are written in heaven. Oh God, may we commit tonight to be a people of possibilities of what you can do with the resources that we already have. In Jesus' name, as the music begins to play, why don't you come and say, God, let me see the possibilities. Show me what you can do with my donkey, my bandage, my oil, my wine. Show me what you can do with my money. Show me what you can do with my faith. Show me what you want to do in this place. Make this the year of possibilities of anything that's possible when we're willing to just do neighbor work.